And it took me right back to that moment of him laying in bed, so sick, you know, them pumping chemotherapy through his body. And just wondering, will we be able to make it beyond this? You know, because during those moments, they're scary. And you just have no, you live day to day, you know, and you're doing everything the doctors are telling you to do. And you're just praying and hoping that his body responds favorably. And so those were dark times. Those were scary times. Mm-hmm. But then to see him making chocolate and just living something that nobody really gets to do, you know, having a day to make whatever you wanted, you know. So like you said, it was from like darkness to just happiest, bright, you know, and you just know his future is going to be like this from here on out. You know, that's what it helped me to just like release that fear. Mm-hmm. And I think for my boys too, it literally almost flipped the boat upside down to say, we're starting anew. This is a fresh start. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a day that none of us will forget for sure.
Welcome to A World of Wishes, where we dive into the inspiring stories behind extraordinary wishes come true. I'm your host, Richard Kelly. In today's episode, we have the privilege of speaking with Becky Kite, a wish mom whose son Pierce had a truly unique wish to make candy. Pierce's wish, produced by Eat Sugar, brought vibrant colors and joy to her family's lives during a pivotal moment as it came at the end of Pierce's cancer treatment. Becky shares the heartwarming experience of watching her son immerse himself in the sweet world of candy and how the wish created lasting memories and much-needed bright spot for their family. Tune in as we explore this colorful, joyful wish and the impact it had on Pierce and those around him. Okay, I'm here today with Becky Kite. Becky's son, Pierce, had a very unique wish that we granted about a year ago, a wish that happened in stages, and it was the one-of-a-kind wish that we granted from this chapter. Welcome, Becky, and I'm eager to talk to you about Pierce's wish and about everything that's going on with your family.
Great, thank you.
So we'll get to Pierce's wish in a moment, but I wanted to ask you what kind of kid he is. You know, what kind of personality does Pierce have, and what does he love to do? And, you know, just paint a picture of who Pierce is.
Okay. Pierce is a 9-year-old redhead boy, just loves life. He's very outgoing at home, but when he gets around, you know, people outside, he's a little bit more shy. But he's very intelligent, also very funny. Like, he'll say little things that you're just like, where did that come from with a little 9-year-old kid, you know? He loves baseball, like absolutely loves baseball, loves hanging with his brothers, does a lot of gaming with brothers and dad, loves to play with friends, swimming, anything just active, outdoorsy kind of thing.
So you have a tight-knit family, and I'm sure the prospect of having one of your kids be sick is frightening, not just for you as his mom, but for the entire family. So can you talk about Pierce's journey and medical journey and how sort of that part of it started?
Yeah, we very much are close-knit. Like, my husband actually works from home, and then I homeschool my children. So we're always home together, mm-hmm. like all the time. And back in February of 2020, we noticed that Pierce's lymph nodes were enlarging, and it was, you know, a couple months. It had kind of started November-ish. And my mom had said she would see us over a video chat. And she told me, she's like, those are really big. And I was like, I know, you know, kind of just shoved it off and thought, oh, he's going through a sickness. But it was on his neck. And she just was like, please take him in. You need to be seen. So we took him in. The doctor, you know, did blood results and said, you know, don't worry about it. You have a cat. It could possibly be a cat scratch infection, which makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. But when we left that office that night or that day, he said, just don't go home and look up things online because everything will come back to cancer. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's true. You know, the internet is like an endless pit of horrible things. Right. So I didn't. The next morning, I got a call at 7:58 a.m. and the office doesn't open until 8. And I was like, whoa, okay, they're on it. And literally the first thing he said is, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but your son has cancer. And no parent wants to hear that. And we had just gone through a cancer with my father. So their grandpa had gone through liver cancer. And luckily, he was able to be saved with a liver transplant. And so when I heard that, I couldn't grasp it truly. You know, the whole Charlie Brown, I'm sure this is like dating me, but Charlie Brown, the mom, whenever she talks, it goes, wah, 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 wah. Mm-hmm. After he said, your son has cancer, that's all I heard. I like couldn't hear what he was saying. So yeah, we were immediately sent to the hospital. At the time we were living out of in Washington State, and it's just, it was a whirlwind. Like we got in that same day, my children were ripped from each other. Pierce has three older brothers that he spends every day with playing, you know, just being brothers. And those three boys had to watch their little brother just go. And we were in the hospital for about a month and a half, just, you know, with that first initial, like really hit the cancer hard. And so my kids didn't see each other at that time. And then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And so the world was just in an upheaval. And my boys, we were thankful when we finally got to go home. But there were moments where we actually did have to live. My children were living in the house when Pierce and I were living in like a little camper on our driveway because we were afraid, you know, some of our kids had gotten COVID and Pierce couldn't be around them. So it's like you're within arm's reach, but you couldn't be close. You know, it was really hard. And I know my oldest at the time, he understood cancer and death. You know, my other children were a little bit younger that they didn't grasp that. And Pierce, I don't think grasped that knowledge either. He was only four. Mm-hmm. But my oldest has still to this day said, Mom, I truly thought that Pierce was going to die. And, you know, everybody, you know, as a parent, you know the magnitude and the ramifications of cancer and the possibilities. But you didn't want that for any child. So anyways, yeah, we did 2 years of treatment in and out of the hospital a lot. I mean, it is the story of cancer. You know, you practically live there. And if you're not living there, you're always there. But he did great. Had some hiccups along the way. But for the most part, at the end of 2 years, they said he had reacted favorably. His body is showing, you know, he's in remission. And so we were able to, they said, you know, now we can just treat him every month and take care of him through the clinic. And that's when we actually decided to move. And we were like, okay, we're out of here. Okay. We came to Florida.
Okay.
You know, change of life, change of scenery.
Yeah.
So
what did that period of time do to your family structure? Did you guys in some weird way get closer, or was that because treatment and COVID and everybody is separated and we know what illness can do to families?
You know, our immediate family, like my husband, me and my boys, it got us closer, because we relied so much on just each other. Because during COVID, extended family couldn't be around. So my mom, my family lived in a different state, and they had that want to be there. They so badly wanted to help, but they couldn't. They were not allowed, you know, to come in. And then the same thing with my husband's family. They lived in the same state, but it was not it just wasn't able to be close. And so our little knit family, we became so tight because we relied so much on just each other.
Right. Were you referred to Make-A-Wish when you were in Washington or when you came to Florida?
Make-A-Wish, everything happened here in Florida.
Okay.
So the treatment, hospital, all happened in Washington State, but everything with Make-A-Wish happened like almost immediately when we got here.
Okay. So talk to me about that. You get to Florida. you think, you know, Pierce might be out of the woods, and Make-A-Wish comes into your life. Mm-hmm. And then, so what was that process like in terms of when they're asking Pierce what his wish is, or were there some other possibilities, and how did he end up settling on what his wish ultimately ended up being?
Well, so he actually, clear back when he was in treatment in the hospital, he would watch videos. Him and I would lay on his bed. And when he just really had no energy whatsoever and just was sick, I would get on to videos on my phone. And it was these candy making videos. And it was very soothing, you know, just the process of the pouring of the liquid and then changing the colors and, you know, just mixing it, making it into a hard candy. It was very therapeutic for him and me. And so we would sit there and watch it. And this candy place, I think, was like out of Australia or something like that. Anyways, Pierce one day, somebody had made a comment. I think it was our social worker who was like, you know, Pierce, you'll get to have a Make-A-Wish when you're healthy and you're out of this hospital, you'll get a Make-A-Wish. And he didn't understand what that meant. And so she's like, well, you know, you could wish for something and it will come true, like a genie. And so one day in the hospital, we're laying there and he goes, Mom, if I do get a wish, I want to do that. I want to make the candies. Okay. And I was like, okay. So, you know, that like put a little thought in my brain. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, back in 2020.
Right.
So now we come to Florida and this is 2023. We get reached out from Make-A-Wish here in Florida. And they said, we really want to know like what Pierce would like. And they have you fill out a form, just kind of getting to know like what's his interests. And, he kept going back to the candy.
Okay.
But in his brain, he only thought, oh, candy Australia. Like, I can't do that. That's so far away, you know? And his fairy godmother is what we call her, the gal that helped us figure out, like, what he wanted to do. She was like, well, just kind of write down what you're thinking. And so, you know, he was like, well, maybe I'll go somewhere on a trip. And I was like, is that really what you want? Because we did put the candy making there. And he's like, you know, he went back and forth because he just didn't know.
Right.
And then when we finally said he really wants to do this candy making, she was like, oh, we could do that. We can figure that out. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was like every little thing was just put in place. I mean, honest to goodness, it's like the most magical thing you can think of, that like you say, I wish this, and bada bing, it's done. You know, every little detail is just done for you. You really, I mean, so when he was told that he gets to make candy, you know, his brothers were like, you're like Willy Wonka, you know? And so we're like, you're little Mr. Willy Wonka.
We're very fortunate that we have some very creative people that work for us, that are volunteers for us, that are corporate partners for us.
Yes.
We'll get into Pierce's specific wish, but when we get presented a wish like, I want to make candy, and we've never done a wish like that before, then it really starts the creative juices that are flowing. So when you're working with the volunteers and you're working with our staff on that, were there specifics that Pierce wanted, or did he just say, I want to make candy, and then it was left up to the creative people to make it happen?
He did say, I just want to make candy, and that was where, you know, like all the staff volunteers, they're all just like helping, okay, let's help him narrow, because he's still young and I don't know that world, you know, like they are so good at being able to like, oh, we know somebody that does this and we can reach out to this. And so it was really kind of left up to them, and they would bring it back and say, so Pierce, is this like what you're thinking? And oh yeah, yeah. So, you know, they would go out and just kind of like dig and research and then come back to us and talk with him and make sure it was really what he wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about his wish. He traveled to Orlando, and we have a very good partner of ours, It's Sugar, helped facilitate the wish. So they hosted you and your family at their facility in Orlando, and then you take over from there. Tell me what that was like.
Yeah. So the initial thing, we went to what was the place that he made the chocolate? What is that called? Las Olas. Yeah, Las Olas.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in and there were balloons everywhere, just this big archway and kind of just, you know, really exciting. Pierce was excited. I mean, the first thing he's like, can I have a balloon? You know, just a kid. And they took us back into the whole process, letting him see everything of how like chocolates are made and what they use. And he got to go around the entire production line, and everybody there was wearing his favorite color.
Okay.
In like this factory that's huge.
Yeah.
Every worker there was wearing red because that's his favorite color. And there was this big sign, welcome Pierce, you know. So he felt super special. And then they even let him like make the chocolate. So they were doing peppermint bark at the time because it was close to Christmas. Well, not really, but they were prepping for Christmas,
right,
you know.
Right.
And so he got to like throw the peppermint chunks all over the chocolate. And he just was loving that, getting his hands in there, you know, kind of getting dirty. And he was scooping out the coconut to make those coconut patties. He just loved every bit of it. But there was this one part that they were making the taffy, which is really kind of more what he watched on those videos in the hospital. And the gentleman there making the taffy, he's like, okay, you put this color to make it the red and white. And Pierce got in there like he knew exactly what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman's like, okay, I think we need to put him to work and bring him in. And so he just loved that. But then there was a portion that there was this whole area back tucked away that he got to just dip anything and everything edible you could think of in chocolates.
Yeah.
So you had your white chocolate, then they made a red chocolate, you know, out of white chocolate, and then a milk chocolate. He was dipping marshmallows, bananas, strawberries, gummy bears, cookies. I mean, seriously, it was like, I mean, my three boys also were just in heaven, but they knew this was Pierce's moment.
Right.
So, you know, Pierce got to be in there just going at it, enjoying every little thing he could think of. But they were loving every minute too, you know, like they were kind of those shackles of always feeling on edge, like what ifs, you know, when he got sick, oh shoot, what if? I think that day it was like literally just lifted. Mm-hmm. We could just have fun, be as a family. Everybody was just, I mean, literally treating us like kings and queens, and Pierce was having the best day of his life.
Did at any point during that day you think back to when you both were watching the candy making on your phone and how this is a contrast and that those are like, that's like a black and white time and this is like a total Technicolor time?
Oh,
did,
yeah.
Did that ever go through your mind?
Oh, yes. Well, so news people were there and they were talking to us and asking me questions, and it literally brought me back because they asked, why did he want to do that for his Make-A-Wish? And it took me right back to that moment of him laying in bed, so sick, you know, them pumping chemotherapy through his body. And just wondering, will we be able to make it beyond this? You know, because during those moments, they're scary. And you just have no, you live day to day, you know, and you're doing everything the doctors are telling you to do. And you're just praying and hoping that his body responds favorably. And so those were dark times. Those were scary times. Mm-hmm. But then to see him making chocolate and just living something that nobody really gets to do, you know, having a day to make whatever you wanted, you know. So like you said, it was from like darkness to just happiest, bright, you know, and you just know his future is going to be like this from here on out. You know, that's what it helped me to just like release that fear. Mm-hmm. And I think for my boys too, it literally almost flipped the boat upside down to say, we're starting anew. This is a fresh start. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a day that none of us will forget for sure.
And I'm sure it helps that, you know, that it's sugar and it's very, very positive environment, very colorful environment, very, you know, very cool, creative, fun. I'm sure that helps that part of it too.
Yeah. Well, that was actually the next day that we got to go into the It's Sugar candy store, and oh my goodness, that really does make you feel like you're in like Willy Wonka world.
Yeah.
You know, the colors, the excitement, the people, I mean, everything about it is a kid's dream, you know. So he went from being able to make it and do it himself, like he was the actual maker, to then seeing it on the other side where it's made for you and it's presented. Oh, it was just, I mean, it's like a kid in a candy store. What are they going to do? Just,
yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you go down to the store in Fort Lauderdale.
Yep.
And then Pierce is making his own candy at It's Sugar down in Fort Lauderdale. What was that like?
He got to see the cookie that he made. So they did a reproduction of what he had done at the Las Olas production. And so this was the revealing of it. And it was really fun because he was like, I did that. I made that, you know, and they got to, his little face was on the cookie. And so being able to be there was just like another step of like, it's not just, he just made candies one day. It's, they made a cookie after what he had, you know, made that day. So that was a really fun excitement that it was like a real life coming to life, his candy kind of thing.
Right. So these multiple days happen and I'm sure they're exciting and they're fun and it's intimidating because there's a lot of people around.
Yeah.
When you leave these environments and it's just you and Pierce or you and your family, what does he say? What does he talk about? What are the things that are the things that, you know, we think he'll remember for years and years to come?
Yeah. So he's hard to talk to in person because he's really quiet. But when he gets home or when he's like on the drive and we're talking to him, he understands the importance of how much and what went into that. He's like, Mom, I couldn't have done that if it wasn't for somebody helping me get there or get to do that. And, you know, for a 9-year-old, I'm like, how do you grasp that, you know? And, but he loves the thought that he made a candy and it was everything he did and designed. And so he'll tell people actually too, you know, like his friends and stuff, he'll be like, I got to make a candy and it's like named after me. And, you know, so he loves to kind of talk about it and tell people like his experience. But he gets excited when he gets to retell that moment where he got to do exactly what his wish was.
Yeah.
So
how's he doing physically?
Amazing. Yeah. We go to clinic now every 4 months, which is, you know, every month is like a graduation. And so physically he is great. He plays baseball almost every day. He runs, he's active. I mean, if you were to see him today, you would never know that he ever went through anything. Mm-hmm. Because he's very positive, he's very happy, outgoing, and it is interesting though, he has an understanding of people's plights. You know, when he sees people that are in wheelchairs or when he sees people like at clinic that don't look well, he's like, Mom, they're probably having a hard day today. You know, because we would have to do that. We would say, you know, today's a hard day, but tomorrow's going to be better. And so he really has a huge heart of understanding, you know, the empathetic for a kid that you're just like, that's impressive. But he wants to help others know it's okay. You know, today's a hard day.
For sure. A 9-year-old with that kind of perspective is really, really rare.
Yeah.
So you're on the tail end, or hopefully on the tail end of this, you know, 4 or 5 year experience, this journey, roller coaster, whatever you want to call it. You know, so give me some perspective on the global view of this. Like, you went through this really hard time, you come out of it, you move across the country, and then you have this wish, and now your son seems to be on the tail end of what was going on with his body. Mm-hmm. What's the global view of that? You know, I mean, obviously it's offered your son some perspective and empathy, your other sons some perspective and empathy. It brought your family closer as a unit, might have, you know, torn you apart maybe a little bit here or there. Mm-hmm. But what's your perspective on what the last 5 years has been like?
You know, the last 5 years have definitely been trial. You know, it's been putting us through, they say there's a saying about a refiner's fire. You know, people can feel so broken, so at the, you know, you just can't do it anymore feeling, and just knowing, well, what if we do not have our son at the end of this? But now coming out of it, that perspective of you live every day with gratitude and just not letting, you know, the smaller things in life really get you down, because you have today to live. You have today to make a difference. And, you know, in the perspective, we also, we're a lot more willing, and we have that, I don't know how to explain it, but even my family, my boys, we all want to do more to help the community, to help others, you know, whatever we see that there's a chance that maybe we could donate a little something here, or go help take a meal, or just relieve somebody's burden, because those times are so heavy. And so now that we're out of that, we're not in that anymore, we can now give back and hope that's, you know, what we received when we were going through it, that we can do that for others.
It's beautiful. What do you think you can remember 10 years from now about this? I asked you about what you remember in the last five years. 10 years from now, Pierce is on the edge of adulthood. You guys will have had 10 years in the rearview mirror. What do you think you remember about this entire Make-Wish experience?
I think one of the biggest things he'll remember is that it was that one Make-A-Wish wasn't the one and only, you know, like he has been blessed by so many small, we call him his mini wishes, because he has gotten to do so many things, you know, like he got to be a Tuesday champion at the baseball Rays game, and he loves baseball. That was not his ultimate Make-A-Wish, but because he got to do an added extra thing, you know, like they just keep you, Make-A-Wish makes you a part of a family. And so anytime Pierce hears like Make-A-Wish, you know that reaches straight to his heart. Mm-hmm. And he wants to come and do any kind of activity to help with any donations or any, you know, event that can help to help someone else. Mm-hmm. And so he will have very fond memories of everything that he got to do, not just that first one, because there's been so many things. But he has a big heart now for Make-A-Wish. Mm-hmm. And he wants to make sure, like with the candy, when he made the candy, the number one thing he wanted was that the proceeds go to Make-A-Wish. Mm-hmm. He was so adamant. And then, you know, we had to change things up because of like the candy production stuff. But there's another candy that's coming out. And he asked again, Mom, are those monies that they're making, is it going to go to Make-A-Wish? And so his mind is very focused on making sure other kids that are now having to go through these hardships, that he's benefiting them. You know, he's helping either somehow that Make-A-Wish can get it, or, you know, so Make-A-Wish will always have a huge part of his heart. And I think he'll continue on in his life to try to, you know, volunteer or do something to help someone else get a Make-A-Wish.
Yeah. It's it's a beautiful full circle moment. And it's not something that we, you know, that we ask of Wish families or demand of Wish families or anything. There isn't some, you know, agreement there. It's just, you know, this compelling need for this feeling that Wish parents and Wish kids want to give back. And I think that's part of what makes Make-A-Wish so special. That relationship between Make-A-Wish and Wish families and Wish kids is that sort of feeling of family.
Oh yes.
And so many wishes that we grant, but each one is individual and special. And this Pierce's wish was individual and special. like I said, it was the first and only candy making wish we've ever done. We got to involve one of our great corporate partners at Sugar, and so many different people in the community helped with Pierce's wish. And I'm glad to see he's doing well now, and your family's doing well now and thriving. And we thank you for being here on today's episode.
Yeah.
And all the best to your family moving forward.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks to Becky, and thank you for listening to this special episode of World of Wishes, produced by Make-A-Wish Southern Florida. To learn more about how you can help make more wishes like Pierce's come to life, visit us at wish.org/SFLA. We also ask for your help in supporting this podcast by rating, reviewing, and subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And tell a friend. You can also listen to archive shows at worldofwishespodcast.org.